You've been listening to The Goalie by Carolyn Ziegler, brought to you by Scripps Salon Podcasts. In part one, Rose's ambitions are changed when in 1937, Albert Einstein shows up in her small Saskatchewan town with one thing on his mind, playing hockey for the Canwood Canucks. Here is part two.
Testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, testing. You two ready to go live?
Yes.
Yep. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jefferson Anderson, and we are broadcasting live from Municipal Hockey Rink in Canwood, Saskatchewan.
Go Canucks!
In a few short moments, we will broadcast to the play-by-play for the championship game between the Canwood Canucks and the North Battleford Beavers. Before the game begins, we will be broadcasting the City of Canwood's final mayoral debate. The election is scheduled to take place after the trophy ceremony. I am pleased to have with me the candidates Rose Clark and Edward Esther. We will begin momentarily, but first, a word from our sponsor.
You work too hard, you ate too much, the cheese
treat. Yeah, we got time to talk, Jet.
The spot for Alka-Seltzer runs about a minute.
Rosie.
Do you want something, Mr. Esther?
Yeah, you come around on shortening the debate.
What?
Jimmy said he'd sorted it out with you.
He didn't get it sorted. I decided that...
Being mayor is about making folks happy.
I don't need you to tell me what kind of mayor Canwood needs.
Eddie? Ma'am, are you two ready?
Our first candidate is Rose Clark. Many of our residents know her as Miss Fredrickson, as she taught school in Canwood for 5 years before retiring last year. Rose also grew up right here in Canwood. Our second candidate is businessman Edward Esther. Eddie grew up here in Canwood and had several successful business ventures in the oil and gas industry in Alberta, prior to moving back to Canwood 3 years ago. Each candidate will make brief introductory remarks, and then we'll answer some questions submitted by citizens of Canwood before the puck drops.
Let's get her done, Jep.
Mrs. Clark?
Good evening!
Ma'am, you don't need to shout, just talk normal.
Sorry. Good evening. I am proud to have grown up in Canwood. I believe that my history as an educator has made me exceptionally qualified to become your next mayor. I have had the pleasure of knowing most of the families in Canwood intimately, and I believe that I understand some of the challenges our community is facing due to the Great Depression. Our children are the most prized and valued citizens. As your mayor, my number one goal is to tap into the unlimited potential of our young citizens. Thank you.
First of all, I'm going to make this short, because we got a game to play. I never wanted to be in politics, but we need someone with some good ideas to run this town. Yeah, you got something to say?
You have good ideas?
Tons.
Oh, really?
We don't need a bunch of crazy ideas. We just need someone who won't take the same load of garbage from folks in Regina and Ottawa.
You have no idea what...
Please wait your turn at the microphone.
Times are serious out there. Mrs. Clark had a job that we paid her to do out of our pockets, and now she's married, and now Jimmy's got the hockey team rolling, so he'll be set. But the average guy around here don't have something to bail him out. We need someone serious in this job, or we're toast.
Are you finished with your opening statement, Eddie? Mr. Esther?
Yeah.
We now have some time for some questions submitted by residents.
How many?
Are you hoping to get out of this debate without actually having to debate me?
Question number one. What is the first thing you would do after becoming mayor? Mr. Esther, Mrs. Clark spoke first for her introduction, so it's your turn to start.
Listen, I don't think we need to make major changes. The guys in this town are good guys. They run things good. It's just we need to get some more jobs here, and that's what I'm going to do.
You didn't answer the question.
Well, I ain't gonna talk for 5 years till everyone falls asleep.
Mr. Esther, please wait until your next turn at the microphone.
You need to take this seriously.
Go Canucks!
I'd like to know about your important plan. You're telling everyone that you have a plan to reinvigorate the economy, but you haven't given us any details.
It's complicated.
I'm pretty smart. Try me.
Listen, All the guys already know who they're gonna vote for. Let's just get to the game.
But it's not just the men voting, Eddie.
You were one of those suffragettes, weren't you?
I was a child when women won the vote.
Mrs. Clark, can you answer the first question, please? What is the first thing you would do if you were to become mayor?
My main focus is on education. I do not agree with the decision earlier this year to close the Canwood school. I would place a small municipal tax on each household.
There we go.
I would use those funds to reopen the school. I would add grades 11 and 12 to the curriculum and bring in a teacher with the skills to help prepare our kids for post-secondary education.
That's your great idea.
It might take a while,
but... The guys here have barely any cash left. And you just want to make them fork it all over to you.
It's an investment. We're struggling right now because our whole economy depends on agriculture.
There's a drought. And those fat cats on Bay Street...
We need to diversify our economy, or at the very least offer an alternative future for our young people.
We don't need some know-it-all telling us what to do, and that we ain't good enough.
That wasn't the question. What would you do as mayor?
These are country kids. The kids are gonna get jobs around here. The girls are gonna be wives. Why waste all that money on something nobody wants?
You have no idea what this town wants.
Like hell I don't.
Eddie, man.
Listen. I got all that land west of town.
Oh, which you conned out of an elderly woman with no dependents.
Which old Lady Knudsen left me fair and square.
Get to the point, Eddie.
There's oil out there.
You have proof of this?
Which one of us worked in Alberta? You or me?
From what I heard, you lost your job.
I just need folks to pony up a little bit of cash to get things going.
You want everyone to fork over their hard-earned cash to you? That's exactly what I'm suggesting, except the entire town would reap the benefits from a new school.
Mine's a one-time investment.
How long until you take your investment and leave town?
Listen, lady.
No one is drilling this far north.
It's a sure thing.
You want to take everyone's money, complete control of the workforce and the economy, and yet I'm the left-wing nut with the socialist ideas?
If I get rich, everybody gets rich.
Sounds like a scheme from one of those fat cats on Bay Street.
Hey, I've never been east of Manitoba.
What I'm trying to say is that what you're asking people to invest in this get-rich-quick scheme without any solid proof that there is, in fact, oil deposits on your land. You are guaranteeing profits, except from what I can tell, you have no guaranteed source of revenue except for the investments from the citizens of Canwood.
I'm telling you, it'll work.
The people in this town just want to earn a decent living.
Right, and if they vote for me, they will. What do you know about business?
Apparently more than you.
What?
Your plan will fail.
You don't respect folks here. You don't believe in them.
Excuse me?
People should vote for me because I believe in folks here in this town.
How stupid do you think we are?
I don't think the guys are stupid.
Mrs. Clark and Mr. Esther, let's go to the next question.
You know, these kids are country kids. They ain't gonna stay in school past grade 10.
Well, if we provide them with a teacher that can adequately prepare them for post-secondary school...
You're gonna go back to teaching and be mayor?
I'm sure we can all agree that the goalie of Canwood Canucks is very well educated.
Let's move on to the second question.
Well, that's what this is all about, ain't it?
What?
Keeping him here.
Who?
Al.
Don't say his name.
Oh, it's too late.
We agreed as a town not to talk about it. We agreed not to use his name. We're on air. Live. Have you no honor?
My honor ain't the problem.
Excuse me?
I'm not the one having an affair.
How dare you?
He's old enough to be your father.
I can't believe you suggested I would betray my husband and take advantage of a man who just lost his wife.
This question is for either candidate. Why do you think you are best suited to be mayor?
I know money and I know business. Everybody knows what's been going on. She's not a nice woman.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes?
Please answer the question. Why do you think you're best suited to be the mayor of Canwood?
I've lived here my whole life. I know and care about everyone in this town. We need a school in this town if we are going to build a future for ourselves and for our children.
Thank you.
And... Mr. Esther is the one with no values. He's the one trying to boost the election just to boost his own network.
Nobody's going to vote for a lady-stooping Albert Einstein.
How dare you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm honored to introduce Lavender Esther and the Canwood Cowboy Orchestra. They're making their radio debut tonight to serenade us with a brief musical interlude.
God save our gracious king, long live our noble king, God save the king.
Ooh, she's horrible.
Father Ross won't even let her near the church choir. And he can only hear out of one ear.
Do you know why they let her on the radio? Eddie promised Jep's brother a job on the rig.
I can't believe Eddie married her.
I dated her. Eddie came back to town and that was it. Lavender didn't look at anyone else.
Right.
Neither did I. You don't want to believe this, Rose, but some folks like Eddie. He could win.
People can see right through him.
Welcome to Kenwood, Saskatchewan for the game of the century. It's David and Goliath on skates. The mighty North Battleford Beavers against the little town that could.
You better go.
In a minute.
You don't really think that...
That you're boinking Albert
James.
Einstein? Yeah, I don't like gossip. Eddie wanted to know if we're having an orgy every night.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
I said I couldn't imagine my wife swinging from the rafters.
Stop!
You know, folks aren't completely wrong about you and Al.
You just said that
you look at him like... You don't look at the rest of us. You can talk to him about the things that the rest of us don't understand. All folks want to talk about is the Canucks. And you want to talk about...
It's just a stupid hockey game.
Didn't you hear Jep? He said it's the game of the century.
You're calling this the game of the century?
To them it is.
Idiots.
Voters. I don't hate Al. Once he got here, I just realized how much you don't fit here. And I wonder, well, if you sometimes wish you hadn't been able to convince me to leave Lavender.
Is that what you wish?
No. Rosie, there ain't nobody but you for me.
The Beavers win the puck, and wow, watch them go! They're weaving through the Canucks' defense. They shoot, and golly, the Canucks goalie just made an unbelievable save. Ladies and gentlemen, the Kenwood Canucks have a date with destiny! Have come and gone in the hockey game of the century, and we've yet to see a goal. The North Battleford Beavers have pulled everything but a rabbit out of the dressing room with an unbelievable 30 shots on net. The Canucks have yet to clock one shot. Eddie Esser had the lone breakaway in the second, but tripped over his own feet. Take heart, dear Kenwoodians. There's still hope. Folks, your goalie is on fire. I believe in fate, and tonight I believe the Kenwood Canucks are destined to come out on top. We'll be back for the overtime and sudden death in only a few short minutes, folks.
Cotton Picker, how many times have you found yourself
gonna look for
really
Jimmy,
painful?
I don't want to distract him. I'm just going to stay away from the team and from the crowds.
Folks, no, that was just election talk.
Frank sent me a letter. He told me what it was like when he showed up at Princeton and all of his other professors talked to him like he was an ape from Canada who took too many punches to the head. And then Albert Einstein showed up at a hockey game. Frank couldn't believe it when he introduced himself and said he was a big fan. Frank said he asked so many questions about hockey and he was really listened to what Frank had to say. And when he realized Frank played the violin, he invited Frank to his house to play music together.
He never did tell me how he knew so much about hockey.
He played as a boy in Germany.
He told you that?
I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Lots asked. He only told you.
Since his wife died, I think he just wants to be left alone.
Listen, someone spoke to the press. And after what just happened on the radio, his cover's blown.
Is it wrong to just want to be a normal person?
A gray-haired, hockey-playing Jewish physicist in northern Saskatchewan? It's not normal.
Can you blame him for wanting to get away from it all?
What are you going to do when he goes back?
He isn't going back.
Ma'am, he's one of the most famous people in the world. He can't stay here forever.
He promised me. They're back on the ice.
Ma'am, I have to start broadcasting again.
Good evening once again, ladies and gentlemen. We're back to the Kenwood Rink for sudden death overtime between the North Battleford Beavers and the mighty Kenwood Canucks. Canucks win the faceoff, and the puck is passed to James Clark, who brings it down the ice. He passes to Eddie Ester. Is a night that will go down in history as one of the greatest events ever to happen in the small town of Kenwood, Saskatchewan. Older, young, male or female, every citizen of Kenwood will remember where they were when the Canucks beat the Beavers.
On behalf of the citizens of Kenwood, I would like to present the winning trophy to the captain of the Kenwood Canucks, Eddie Ester. Congratulations, Mr. Ester, on scoring the one and only goal of tonight's game. Well done, Eddie.
Thanks, Rosie. This is great news for the boys on the team and great news for the town. When I become mayor, we're going to build on this win.
Eddie, this isn't the time to campaign.
What these guys did here tonight was unbelievable. This is what the guys can do when we work together, and that's going to happen again when we start drilling.
Skating ability is no reason to vote for someone.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we sign off for the night, there's one more thing we gotta do.
Yeah?
We need to present the Most Valuable Player Award. By unanimous decision, I would like to present the MVP award to the Kenwood Canucks goalie, Albert Einstein!
Jeff! Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Jeff. And thank you, Kenwood citizens, for granting me these few months of peaceful solitude in your frozen little town.
What are you doing?
The feline is out of the bag, Rose. The press knows I'm here.
Wait. I have something to say. Before you all vote, I just want to say that the most important thing in this town is not a hockey game. It's the election. And I'm telling you, you can't vote for Eddie.
Like Elvis,
ma'am. Can't.
We all agreed to in this town to keep Albert's identity secret, and you sold him out.
I ain't the leaker, Rosie.
Please, no one is going to believe that.
It's the truth.
So who was it then?
Jimmy.
What?
Your husband?
James would never do that.
Jimmy made a call to some guy in Saskatoon. Then the news spread like wildfire.
James?
He said you would never run if it weren't for him.
He didn't sign me up for this.
No. Jep did. But he kept encouraging you, helping you with your debate prep.
Because that is what Miss Rose wanted.
It's what you wanted, and Jep.
Ah, I see.
Maybe you can hide for a few days.
No, the vultures will find me.
My name is Albert Einstein of Princeton University. I would very much like to thank Mr. Jepp for the Most Valuable Player Award. I have been playing a little hockey. It's true. I learned to play hockey as a little boy in Germany. And over the past few months, you have given me back a joy I felt as a young boy. Hockey is an excellent game. It does not require thinking, and in the goal, not too many muscles either. I have not had this much fun in a very long time. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our programming for this evening. Rest assured, the celebration will continue in Kenwood, Saskatchewan. Good night, and stay warm, and don't forget to vote before the storm hits.
And we're off air.
I'm so sorry.
Ach, nein. It's a lesson I keep needing to remember.
What?
Fate does not get lost.
Ma'am? Ma'am, there's some folks outside who want to speak to you.
Not right now, Jep.
Ma'am, I feel like I need to apologize.
For what?
You never wanted to be mayor, did you?
Someone needed to do it.
Well, ma'am, what do you want to do?
Excuse me?
The past few months, I learned to go after what I want. Even if everyone thinks it makes no sense. I could have gone along with what my dad wanted and gone to school. But I'm so much happier with the radio, ma'am.
I'm glad, Jeff.
I learned that from you, ma'am. And Al.
I can't believe James would do this. He knows how important it was to protect Al.
I think you're more important to him than Albert.
James got what he wanted. And I lost to a baboon on skates.
He didn't want you to lose.
He didn't want me to win.
Schatzi?
You're not leaving just because of the reporters. This is wrong.
I was wrong to think that I could stay here.
Why is it wrong to want a normal life?
It's wrong to try and be someone that I'm not. It's wrong for anyone to run from who they are.
Well, the reporters did this.
They were on the hunt for me, but fate nudged them in the right direction.
So, after 2 months, that's it? After one hockey game, you've changed your mind?
I changed my mind a few weeks ago. I was waiting till after the election.
You didn't think I was going to win?
Nine.
That's why...
As a scientist, one of the most important things I have learned is how to ask the right question.
What?
The question isn't whether I belong here. It isn't whether you would have been a magnificent mayor.
No.
The question is whether you belong here.
What?
You're trying so hard to fit into a life that was not meant for you.
Where did you get this binder?
It took me quite a while to find them.
It was in my underwear drawer.
Yeah.
It's just some things I wrote.
I like your ideas in these things.
It was just for fun. I didn't even know what I was doing.
This one. Where did you learn the math on this one?
I don't know. I just thought it was a simpler way.
It's too simple for God to have passed up.
What?
Do you know what I would say to someone who gave me this paper to read?
Don't waste my time.
I would track this person down, and if they were not already studying at Princeton, I would beg them to come.
My professor called my theory infantile.
Miss Rosie, I came here to apologize.
For what?
I should never have supported you for mayor. If I had found these before you had decided to run, I never would have encouraged you.
Why?
This is miraculous.
Don't be ridiculous.
You're afraid.
No, that's not what's going on.
That's what my wife, first wife, said. I was young. And it was easier for me to believe her when she told me she was happy quitting school. But I'm an old man now.
You're crazy.
Sometimes.
You're serious?
Yeah. Yes, I am. Why did you push Mr. Chip when he so clearly wanted to play with his radio?
I'm not good enough. My math skills aren't...
My problems in math... are much greater than yours.
I don't have the training.
That is why they are strong. You aren't imitating anyone. They're purely your own.
I'm a girl.
I don't mind that you are a girl. But the main thing is, you do not mind. There's no reason for it.
Have you been drinking?
What?
Did Eddie give you some of his moonshine?
Nine.
Are you sure?
I am sober. God does not gamble. And he does not mean for you to gamble with your life.
It seems like a pretty big gamble to let Eddie win the election.
When I was a young man, I got a job as a patent officer reviewing inventions. It was a good job. Lots of room for advancement. I was happy to live a normal life. But I kept getting these little ideas. They would come and go and come again. So I started to write them down. And then I wrote more of them down. And then I was Albert Einstein. You can't hide who you are for very long.
I'm not leaving.
then I shall miss you.
So that's it? Goodbye?
I very much hope that one day we will meet again.
I can't decide the future of my life based on a coincidence that Frank decided to send you here.
Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous.
You must have been into Eddie's juice.
What if it wasn't all coincidence?
What if you came here for a reason?
Yeah.
Isn't that reason hockey?
If you were a scientist...
If I was...
What would be your theory?
I don't understand.
Does Jep go to university? What is your hypothesis?
No. No, he gets a job with CBC and he travels all over the world.
And what is your theory about Eddie?
He becomes mayor, but it doesn't last the year. They boot him out when they realize he's lying about the oil.
And you?
I...
Do you stay?
You think I can do this?
The woman who follows the crowd usually goes no further than the crowd.
Rose?
I'm not ready to talk to you.
The votes are counted?
That was fast.
Seems most folks had their mind made up after the game.
Ladies and gentlemen, the results are in. And Edward Esser has won the election with 62% of the votes. We will have the swearing-in ceremony later this week at the rink. Details will be provided in a few days once Mrs. Esser has finished the plans for the ceremony. I've heard she's going to sing again. And Mr. Esser is going to come on the show again, folks, and talk about his plans for his business.
I'm sorry, Rosie.
You're sorry? For what you did to Albert or for what you did to me?
I don't want to talk about Albert Einstein.
Do you know what is going to happen to this town now that Eddie won?
You're not going to believe me, but I didn't do this to try and keep you from winning.
Oh, sure.
Rosie, I didn't want you to win, but I knew I was being selfish.
So why did you do it?
I don't know how Eddie found out it was me.
How did he find out anything, James? He bribed someone.
Well, I knew you'd blame Eddie, and I thought I'd be able to keep it a secret.
Why? Why are you dressed like that?
Rosie.
Come to think of it, why aren't you with the rest of the team?
I didn't realize how unhappy you were until I saw you with Al.
I'm not having an affair with Albert Einstein.
I know that. I meant... When I see you talk to him about the things you care about ideas, your whole face lights up.
James, it's...
You don't belong here.
So you're going to leave me?
No. You're going to leave me. I'm just making it easier for you to go.
But where are you going?
I'm enlisting.
James! But what...
You know, Al and I are very different men. And in the end, we're both trying to teach you the very same thing.
What's that?
You don't belong here, Rose. And you can deny that and hide yourself up in here. It only worked for so long.
How well did you know Dr. Einstein?
We corresponded for 20 years. He provided me with support and guidance while I continued my doctorate work, and afterwards... was a sounding board for my research.
You've just been named chair of the mathematics department at Stanford University.
And that was all because of him, Dr. Einstein. He was a genius, there's no doubt, but I think his greatest gift was his humanity. He loved people.
Now, there's a rumor he played hockey in Kenwood, Saskatchewan in the 30s. Aren't you from Kenwood?
That's a rumor that should be laid to rest with Dr. Einstein.
Thank you, Dr. Fredrickson. Condolences are flooding into Princeton, New Jersey after the death of Albert Einstein was announced earlier today. A scientific giant who sometimes generated political controversy. Dr. Einstein died at the age of 76. This is Jefferson Anderson with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
The Goalie by Carolyn Ziegler was read by J.C. McKenzie as Rose, Ethan Snowden as Jep, Vince Forcier as the voices of James and of Eddie, and Ian Lung as Albert Einstein. Tracy Carroll provided dramaturgy and directed the reading with assistance from Karin Neuenheis.
Sound effects are by Colin Maddie, and the sound engineer is Mike Tully. Podcast producer is Elaine Elrod. Sponsors of Script Salon are Holy Trinity Anglican Church, Alberta Playwrights Network, and the Playwrights Guild of Canada, and our loyal audience. Podcast support for this program is by Pathways to PGC.
If you'd like to subscribe to our podcast, send an email with subscribe in the subject line to edmontonscriptsalon@gmail.com. You can also like our page, Script Salon, on Facebook.